Okay, so everybody knows that anybody who's following the world news also knows that this week, yesterday was supposed to be the. Remember what was supposed to happen yesterday, according to a preacher in America? You follow these things?
End of the world.
The rapture, right? The beginning of the rapture. So apparently it didn't happen yet. Okay, but what's most interesting is that people relate to this preacher like he's a nutjob. I mean, and he does sound a little nuts. You know what I'm saying? He did all the math and he figured out when the end of the world was going to be. Such and such years after the birth of Jesus, etc., etc., etc. Just important to point out. I mentioned that also. You just played the Netanyahu speech. Glenn Beck, standing with Israel is what God has called us to do. Thank God for evangelical Christian United States of America, otherwise we'd be in real trouble. Okay? It sounds, I mean, to a rational person, or to a rational, non-eschatological, you know the word eschatology is? Yeah, close it. Eschatology is the study of the end of days. That's what eschatology is. Is that piping hot? It's not a very precise science. I mean, but to a non-eschatological person, the turmoil that has been brought about by this whole, you know, Obama, Netanyahu, you know, recurring peace thing is makes sense because like logically you don't see a solution to the problems. You understand? So, and all of us are coming at this from the perspective, at least I come at the perspective, yes, I don't see a logical solution to the problem. But that's because I don't think that it's incumbent upon us to come to a logical solution to the problem. We're not supposed to have the solution to every problem. But in the rational thinking world, right, they think we're crazy. It's important to put all those cards on the table, that our belief is crazy. So we're going to turn, in Rav Teichel's book, we're going to turn to the very important and probably all-encompassing topic of Mashiach. Okay? I.e. Right, the process of the coming of the Messiah, okay, the redemptive process. How and when will redemption take place? How and when is Mashiach going to come? Okay, but we have to acknowledge, and I think it's really important for us to acknowledge. Like, so if I were to ask you, you know, how is Mashiach going to come? Right, in your vision, I'll put coffee down. Damn, Mashiach comes. Right. What's going to happen?
I can't give some grandiose idea that whatever. You have this idea that the world will be in order. It will be as it's meant to be. That sounds really quite pathetic. But.
So you don't have a clear vision or picture of what it's supposed to be like?
No.
Okay. Anybody want to share? Anybody else want to share?
Day one or...?
Both. That's important.
I think the start isn't very clear.
Start is very clear.
Isn't clear.
And in the end?
I think that's... In the end, the idea is that we go to a similar situation to Bayit Rishon, Bayit Sheni, but on a much more idealistic plane.
Okay, so let me ask...
The world is also repaired.
Is this messianic... let me ask more specifically. Do you view this in your messianic vision over miracles taking place? Will nature be upended in some way, shape, or form? What? Ask that guy. What? Yes, you do?
I thought he was saying that it's going to be like this world now, but everyone's going to acknowledge God, and they'll all serve the Jewish people in our service of God.
How's that going to happen? Just naturally or miraculously?
I like the word you said, and I can't repeat it. My eschatology is not up to date.
Your eschatology is not up to date?
I mean, it's very possible
that it will come about
because
thing.
Of such a major destruction, either complete destruction or what's left. That's what's left. You know, it doesn't work. Real realization, it doesn't work. Somebody comes to save everything.
But here's the thing that we all believe in. You believe in it, correct? Right? You believe in it? You have to believe in it, according to the Rambam.
Right.
Okay. Except there's only one.
Change your mind.
except you believe in something. Except, when I ask you what it is, you can't tell me.
But I'm meant to believe in a God.
No. That's very different.
Hold on.
Do you believe in heaven?
What?
Do you believe in Shammai? Do you believe in an afterlife?
Not as such. Do I believe in a spiritual existence? Yes. Do I believe in it up there? No.
Do you have a picture of what that spiritual existence
is? No, because it's not, I mean, in theory, but not really, no.
How's it any different?
What?
How's it any different? Do you believe in God? Do you know what he looks like? Do you know what he's capable of? Do you know anything other than what we pick up from children and what we grow together, but we don't really know? Do you really understand how justice and mercy go together?
That I get. That I know. Can't explain it to you. No, your point is well taken, but you're talking about an event that you believe that's going to happen. You don't think it's an event. You just told me it's a supernatural event. You said overt miracles will take place, you just can't tell me what they are. All I'm saying is...
I think I can tell you some of them.
Okay, all I'm saying, and I think, and I don't say this as criticism, I am with you on this, is that the people that the world says sound like they're nuts, like this reverend who talks about the rapture, right? We have to acknowledge, it's important for us to acknowledge, that that is us. Except we just don't say it out loud and tell people what it is. You understand what I'm saying? Meaning the world, if they knew exactly what we believed in, yes, I believe in the coming of a Messiah that will redeem the world, build the third temple at which we will offer animal sacrifices, unite the world under God. Oh, absolutely animal sacrifice. Absolutely. You understand what I'm saying?
I think there's an 80-20 chance.
What? 80-20 on the animal sacrifice? Okay, whatever.
No, but
you know how that sounds when I say that?
No, but I don't think that's so bad. If you see the images of what the Vice Rishon Mahesheni looked like, as far as clearly I don't have the knowledge or the skills to go to draw those drawings. I can draw them, but I need to be told how to draw what to draw.
Right.
It's pretty miraculous what happened. You can have a pristine column of smoke. You can never...
Correct. The Mishnah says that was a miracle. The Mishnah said there were miracles by Rishon.
And these
are the miracles I'm talking about.
You can have that. Miracles. You can have the temple. Herodian Temple was meant to be one of the world's most beautiful buildings.
Okay.
All archaeological and architectural understanding.
Agreed.
So there are means of... Or even the cypresses, even the whatever's that Shlomo built the temple, the first temple with.
But that's not a nace. I'm talking about nisim. I'm talking about beyond nature.
And to get to that point, it's so far removed from where we are now. To say anything about it sounds completely loony.
Yeah, it does sound loony.
You have to sound like, but we're not talking about some, with all due respect, big black creature standing in the front going, whoa, come on everybody, wave your hands.
Yeah.
And let's feel the Holy Spirit passing into us. It's a distinctly disconnected. You're talking that we sound.
Why? Meaning, why is he, when he talks about it, crazy, and when we talk about it, that's rational and made sensible?
He has no, there's no physical connection to the point of creation. There's no spiritual understanding of the purpose of the world. There's no anything. It's just one guy who we physically don't think was just very special, wasn't a learned rabbi.
All right, I don't want to go to that. I don't want to go into that. But you understand what I'm saying? I just want to make it clear what our topic is, what our discussion is.
We do crazy stuff, and some of the things we think would sound crazy to people from the outside.
Correct. But
on the other hand, we have structures, we have laws, we have ways of doing things. Okay? And that's, you know, even a prophet. Somebody can't just walk along and say, hey, I'm a prophet.
No.
Okay, and if the Mashiach comes and says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, we're going to ask questions. So it's not blindly, you know, I figured out in my shed that this is what the world's going to...
100%,
so
correct.
So maybe if he was an extremely learned professor with disciples all over the world and they'd come to this conclusion based on unbelievable formulas that, you know, geniuses couldn't work out, maybe...
See?
maybe you have to think about things differently.
Okay.
But, I mean, it sounds...
Point number two.
I just woke up one day and goes...
Well, we're trying to see it...
Point number two. We do, honestly, believe in this... In this... You'll use the word supernatural process. In a God-driven process, which will bring about the redemption of the world. We also believe that this place that we're in, this state that we're living in, is a part of that process. I believe that. It's a first stage of that process.
Do you believe or you know?
What?
Do you believe or you know?
I believe. I don't think you can know anything with definitive. Okay.
Very different.
Okay.
Who knows the world's coming to an end today?
Well, okay. Let's leave the reverend up. That being said, though, that puts all of the political discussions in a very different perspective. Why? Because everything that takes place, we say, when a person looks at you and he says, it doesn't make sense. I don't see a way out of this unless you do X, Y, or Z. So you understand what they're saying. But your answer is something that they can't relate to at all. When you say back to them, I know you don't understand, but it isn't a matter of logic and understanding, it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of a process. It's a matter of a messianic process that, which you cannot relate to or refuse to relate to or refuse to accept and understand. How do you convince someone of your perspective when your perspective is based upon something that's not logical? Let me make my point even more solid. Netanyahu's last point to Obama. He says, Mr. Obama, you know, for all your great intentions and purposes, and I think that I personally am a person who really does think that Obama's heart is in the right place, is we've been persecuted for 4,000 years. I really do. We've been persecuted for 4,000 years. And throughout all this time, this 4,000 years of persecution, we've always dreamed of having this homeland. We don't have much margin for error. The very notion of the persecution of the Jewish people for 4,000 years in and of itself is an illogical, unexplainable phenomenon. Right? And the idea, Rav Teichel has said it already a number of times, that the persecution, the 4,000 years of persecution, the goal of that persecution wasn't just random. It was specifically to drive us to yearn to return to our homeland. Remember he said that? Okay? You don't? But he said it. Meaning, the whole yearning for Tzion, for Medina Israel, for Eretz Israel, that whole yearning is a supernatural yearning and a supernatural desire. The reason we're here is because of a supernatural, a beyond nature, and a beyond our ability to understand process and phenomenon. So all we're doing is continuing that process, continuing that phenomenon. I mean, let's be brutally honest. Our presence here, your decision to move here, could you say that it was an entirely logical move to make?
Not entirely.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of us, to whatever degree, are driven by a religious vision, a religious passion. It doesn't really... You don't think, what?
I was brought here totally on a logical path, and now the religious ideology is kicking in. And you can see...
Wait, what was the logical path?
I'm not taking the story on this microphone.
Okay. This is good to hear.
But there's a justification for it, that you can explain everyone's story. Yes, there may be an ideological trigger, there may be whatever, but...
There's always that piece of it. That's all I'm saying. There's always that piece of it.
Doesn't make it logical and so ludicrous and whatever. It can still be...
Hold on a second. Is your family, and you can say you decline to answer, or people you know think you're nuts?
Yeah, I think I'm nuts that I dedicate so much time to playing cricket. Or that I love plants, or cycle.
No, they respect that about you. You kidding?
They are high up on the you're a cuckoo person. The fact that I don't want to eat red meat puts me on the barking.
That is true. That's barking. I'm with them on that.
So we can have these wonderful ideological views. We can believe in Mashiach's coming. We can be whatever. So alien to what has now become such a banal, meaningless life.
Correct.
That whatever we say with purpose is just cuckoo.
Okay, you want to say something before we go on? This is germane to the topic. You want to say something?
I'm not sure how you define logic, but I think it's just amazing, sort of based on what we said last week, about, you know, not letting people go because they're not. You can't put them in the category of Russia. You put them in the category of what was the?
Kinochinishba.
Right.
Yeah.
Look at the secular leader of Israel. And what he said to the world and to the leader of the world, to the pharaoh, to the Ahasuerus of the world.
Oh, stop! I really, you guys. No, you really. Okay, go
he
ahead.
Believes, yeah. He believes. I think he genuinely believes that there is more than just the last 63 years that's in play here.
Who does?
Netanyahu.
Yeah.
But we're talking about 4,000 years.
100%. I do too.
Which is an amazing thing that, despite however secular the nation is, it's still founded.
You should know Netanyahu is a throwback because he's really into Tanakh.
He's not that secular.
No. Right, he's not that secular. It's interesting to know. He's not. No, so that only begets my question. Not. How can you say you can't say Netanyahu is a Tinuk Shenishba? Can you? If he's so well versed in Judaism?
Can.
I actually agree with you. I'll take it back.
His
okay.
Upbringing can put him in a press.
Correct. In the second meaning. Okay. I agree with you.
How much Tanakh you've learned,
right.
You haven't brought up.
I wish he would just he would bring it back more strongly into the, you know, make it more a priority in the secular public. Okay, so we're now, Rav Teichl is now going to turn his attention to this notion, because he says if it's all about peace and love, right, we have to love, you know, peace and love, we have to love people, and you know what I'm saying? How is it that we're going to bring about the Mashiach? Because he now comes to a very technical question. How's the Mashiach going to come? Right? When is the redemption going to come? The redemption is going to come ultimately at some point in the process of the redemption that people have to do tshuva. People have to return to God. Right? So let me ask you this. If I were to ask you before the redemption of the world, in order to redeem the world, what comes first? The redemption of the world? Or the Jewish people have to repent, return to God, and therefore God will return to them and redeem the world?
It's another of those questions, right?
What?
It's another of those questions. It depends what you learn.
No, I'm asking you, how do you see it?
Two parts, right? Haven't we discussed this? Well, two parts.
No, no.
Everybody's evil or everybody's good kind of thing.
Okay, let's read on. Okay, we're on Pei Dalet. Ulech Ora, Divrei Rabban Gamliel. And seemingly, the words of Rabban Gamliel are questionable. The Divrei Rabban Shel Yisrael Mibels, the Bels of Rebbe's words, okay, we're going to see his words are questionable. Do you have it? Okay, where are you? However, the words of the Bels of Rebbe, Sheishi B'Pshitus, he answered, Oz Mashiach Ved Kimin Vel Yudin Tshuvatun. Right, Mashiach will come and then the Jews will do tshuva. Remember, at the end, he had this whole long discussion. This guy was trying to convince him to start this worldwide tshuva movement. He said, stop hacking me, leave me alone. Just love other Jews. Let Mashiach come, and then the Jews will do tshuva. He says, "D'mashma midvarav." It seems from his words, "D'mashiach yavo kodem tshuvat Yisrael." What's going to happen? First, Mashiach will come, and then the Jewish people will come. Srichim bior. These words require elucidation. Why? De'alom haRambam. The Rambam says, "Hakat tshuva." Mashma de'talui b'tshuva shal Yisrael tchila. The Rambam implies that first you have to have redemption. And then you can have Mashiach, Shekatav. Rambam says the following. And Yisrael Nigalin. First you have tshuva.
Yeah,
and then you have redemption.
Yeah, you said the opposite.
I apologize. Mm-hmm. First you have tshuva and then you have redemption. Rambam says. And Yisrael Nigalin Ella B'tshuva. The Jewish people can only be redeemed through tshuva. Ukvar hivticha haTorah. The Torah promised. Shel sofan shel Yisrael la'asot tshuva besof galutan. Umiyad nigalin, that the Jewish people at the end of their exile will do tshuva and immediately they will be redeemed. So what does that sound like? Pretty explicitly. What comes first?
Tshuva.
First tshuva, and then Mashiach, which raises the question.
The whole world will be redeemed.
Well, if all the Jews do tshuva, yeah. Never heard that song? Just one Shabbos and oh, there's that. You have that song, right? You never heard that song? Oh, famous
really?
Mordechai ben David song. You got it. Yeah, you will. Well, we'll give you a crash course on FFB. While you were being, you know, while you were listening to, I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't know what the music was. The 90s? 90s hip hop? British pop?
British. Rick Astley.
I think Rick Astley was a little before his time. That was my time.
Okay.
Yes. So you have Jewish pop too. You're familiar. Okay. So there's this notion that the Jewish people, you need the Mashiach will come if all the Jewish people keep two Shabbatot.
Right.
They kept one in the desert. Still waiting for the second one because the second Shabbat that came. The second Shabbos that came, right? The second Shabbos already the guy was collecting. The guy was gathering sticks in the desert. And after that, what?
It was manna collecting and stick collecting.
Yeah, it was all down. It was all down from there.
Guy is...
It ruined it for everybody.
Manna. Yeah?
Really?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Like, there was only... The Jewish people only really kept one Shabbat.
Wasn't he Chayav Mita?
Yeah, he was. They put him to death.
And that didn't teach people?
Have you looked around recently?
No,
but
Orthodox community of Yad Binyamin, somehow a pile of wood miraculously caught on fire. It's amazing. Miracles never cease.
Right, but there are guys that park their car at the gate, so it's not even like it's right. A discussion. But the third week, the guys put him home meter. The third week, there was no Shabbos kept.
That's what the Midrash says. Just one Shabbos. All we need is one more Shabbos, and we'll be there. So this idea that when we do tshuva, right? When we do tshuva, then Mashiach will come. And not the other way around. What the Belzer Rebbe said? He said, the Belzer Rebbe said, all you need is just love the Jewish people, Mashiach comes in them to do tshuva. Hey, Belzer Rebbe, have you seen the Rambam?
Wait a second.
I mean, he says.
Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe.
What?
The first temple was destroyed, the second temple was destroyed, and Rabbi Akiva's disciples died because of Sinat Hema. Because we don't love each other.
Yeah.
Maybe we need, that's the tshuva we need to do.
Look at the Rambam again. Ein Yisrael Nigalin Ela B'tshuva. He doesn't say...
Of what?
Come on. You're being a little... Okay. Well, he'll give an answer. He's going to give an answer. Halo B'Sanhen, it says, but, Achli Chared, Guv Divrei Rabbeinu Rambam Kashin. The Rambam's words themselves are difficult. Halo B'Sanhen, it'll be Rishami. In the Sanhedrin, in Masechet Sanhedrin, and in the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Plukta, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shua, Imisom, Galim, Belo Tshuva. So there's an explicit argument. Will the Jewish people be redeemed without Tshuva or not? Mivuar. The Rabbi Lezer, the Besov, Hodel, Rabbi Shua, the Af, Belo Tshuva, Nigalim. If you remember, the Gemara says, I think we mentioned this Gemara before, even if the Bnei Israel don't do Tshuva, even if they don't repent, they're going to be redeemed. Except, remember, one was like the good one, and one is like the bad one. Remember you mentioned that. Okay. So he says, I'll tell you what I think the Rambam says. Ayin Yalkut v'zilchut. The Yalkut says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im ein Yisrael osin tshuva ein nigalim. If the Jewish people don't repent, then they're not going to be redeemed. V'ein osin tshuva, ela mitoch tzar v'tiltu, and they're only going to do tshuva through out of anguish, tiltu. What does he translate that? Through anguish and. They will only repent through anguish and,
Pain, wandering, and lack of sustenance.
And they're only going to repent when Eliyahu comes. Shenamar, as it says, Hinei anuchi sholeach lechem et Eliyahu nabi. Right? I will send Eliyahu. Maktiv acharav. What does it say afterwards? Veishiv levavot al banim. Right? Hinei anuchi sholeach lechem et Eliyahu nabi. Lifnei bo yam Hashem agadol man ara. And then, Meshiv Levavot Abanim, what's Eliyahu's job? Eliyahu's job is to get the people to repent. Hare. So we see. You need two things. Kodom kol tokef hatzarot. First, you need terrible pain, the overwhelming pain and suffering. Ve'achar kach bi'at Eliyahu. And after that, you'll have Eliyahu and Abikam. Hu yorer et levavam v'tshuva. Okay, and then meaning, right? So again, now you have the process of redemption. Got a pen, anybody? Anybody a pen?
Do you need
me to
get one?
What?
Do you need one?
I could do without it. I can write under my bulletin napkin.
It's a crass question, but why is the Rambam making his statement if there's two Gemaras?
That's what he's asking. Yeah, he'll answer. He's going to get an answer.
Yeah,
that's exactly his question. Okay. So he says, so what's the process of redemption? The process of redemption is a three-step process. Pain, suffering and wandering, that's step one. Step two, Eliyahu Anavi comes and forces them to redeem. Okay.
Oh. What's the difference between Eliyahu and Eliyahu?
Not yourself. Okay. Okay, process, step number one, pain and suffering. Following pain and suffering comes Eliyahu, the prophet. And then Eliyahu HaNavi, what does he get them to do?
Return the hearts.
He gets them to repent. Repent, change thy ways, okay? And then once they repent, then what happens?
Mashiach.
Mashiach. Is that Shin? Is it backwards?
So you're saying there's two Mashiachs?
No! So we have a problem, because what is the Rambam saying?
Eliyahu is coming.
Well, one second. Is that a problem according to the Rambam?
Well, you do tshuva first and then...
Is he right?
Eliyahu HaNavi is the Mashiach.
Oh, very good. Is Eliyahu HaNavi the Mashiach?
No.
No. What is Eliyahu HaNavi's job?
To trigger
the Mashiach by getting the people to repent. Very good.
But now, okay. That's just nuancing the wording.
What?
It's just nuancing of understanding. He could be called the Mashiach for what he's doing, though.
No. He's not the Redeemer of the world. He's the person who gets the people to repent so that the Redeemer of the world can come and redeem the world. Why? He gets them to repent, and then the Mashiach can come.
But we also have an idea of two Mashiach, two stages, right?
Yosef and... Where does that come from? I don't even know. Right. Okay. V'ulan, top one. V'ulan on Pehe. Beli hatzarot she'avo kodem, without the step one of pain and suffering, sha'al yedehem yikrachu alevavot. Right? You need the pain and suffering. Why do you need pain and suffering? Because they have people to repent. You have to soften their hearts. Because otherwise... Av Eliyahu HaNavi lo ya yechola oraram l'tshuva. Even Eliyahu HaNavi himself couldn't get people to repent unless they had the pain and suffering to soften their hearts. V'ayisod zeh divei HaRambam emurim. This is what the Rambam says. She'ein migalin below tshuva. K'dib yubanah. So when the Rambam... Where's the Rambam? He's only talking about this step. Right? Repenting. Okay? But when the Belzer Rebbe said, you know, why don't we just love each other and then the Mashiach will come? Okay? The Belzer Rebbe was talking about right over here, this step from the beginning. Just get people to love each other and then we'll start the messianic process. The whole process.
How does that skip the pain?
The Belzer Rebbe said, apparently the Belzer Rebbe felt that either it didn't skip the pain, nobody ever said you would, or he was after the pain. We want Eliyahu HaNavi to come. Right? You could probably argue at any point in history.
Is the balm of post-pain.
Post-pain, right. Balm, B-A-L-M?
B-A-L-M, yeah.
Balm. Okay. That's an interesting set of words. Okay. Aval ha-emtza'i lezeh, but the emtza'i, the conduit for this, yi'ayideh shtei sibot. Two reasons. Ayideh atzarat, v'ayideh Eliyahu. Pain and Eliyahu. The azat chutu tshuva, umiyan nigalin. Then they'll do tshuva, and immediately they will be redeemed. B'zeh hayav tachata tshuva shakat avram. This is the Rambam was talking about. Shesofan Yisrael lasa tshuva umiyan he nigalin. Right, Rambam says right in the end, yasa do tshuva, and then they'll be redeemed. Hainu, how does that happen? Ayidei biat Eliyahu. When Eliyahu comes, kekatub b'mfarash biyalkut. Aval Eliyahu and yavo Eliyahu. When is Eliyahu going to come? Afterim shiyasu tshuva, hu yachziren on the mutav. He says, no, Eliyahu will come before we do tshuva. He's got to get us to do tshuva. V'zeh nami kavanat rabbeinu mibelzer. Now that's what the Belzer Rebbe was saying. Sha'amra, he says, oz Mashiach ben kumim. Then Mashiach will come. Hayinu Mashiach umi sheyitlave imo. Right, Mashiach and those who accompany him, i.e., the broader messianic process. Zeh Eliyahu kayaduha. Okay? So everybody understand his logic? Yeah, but what is interesting is that if you think about it, like I asked you at the very beginning, and I asked you for a reason, how do we think this messianic process is going to occur? How do we envision the messianic process? And I think most people envision the messianic process as a very simple and painless process. Like, you know, one day, at least, you know, we will hear that shofar blowing. Is there a song like that? One day we'll hear the show. One day we will launch together. How does that happen? Moshe Rabbeinu. Is that Mordechai David? Who's that? Oh, that's sounds like an NCSY song. Someday. Oh, it's Mordechai David. Again, Mordechai David. Someday we.
I think that's changed now.
What?
I think the Zionist view has changed that.
Hold on. Right. So the classic messianic view was always this view that you know. It's going to be this, I would say, right, painless process. The Beit HaMikdash is being built, brick by brick, and when the little kid finally gives them the pushka the last time, the last brick is there, like a video game, right on top of the mosque, squash it, right, and then, you know, the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built, and then everybody will come screaming back, somehow miraculously through the portals or amazing magic carpets the Jews will have. Okay, now along comes our title and says, you forgot a few things. One, it doesn't happen that way. Two, let's not forget the pain and suffering. Right? Because we need the pain and suffering, because in order to get people to actually do tshuva, which is a necessity, in order to have this whole repentance thing, in order to have this whole mashiach thing, you gotta have pain and suffering. So you get the pain. So the process is not painless, not easy. First you have just tremendous suffering, wandering, no food, starvation, Jews dying. Then you have them saying, okay, fine, we'll accept messianism, we'll accept God. Eliyahu HaNavi will come back, encourage them to accept God, and then they accept God, and finally Mashiach will come. How's that for you? You're yearning for that now, aren't you? Is that what you always had in mind when you hoped and yearned for the coming of the Messianic days?
I understand this. No, I understand. If there's the model, why do we have to wait 4,000 years?
We don't have to wait. We could have done it a long time ago.
Really?
Yeah.
We're going to go through pain and suffering. We went through pain and suffering.
Correct.
We're going through pain and suffering. I mean, I'd really be interested to know what they thought about Mashiach before Bais Rishon and before Bais Sheni.
No, there was a Mashiach before Bais Sheni. You didn't have the Mashiach. We had Bais Sheni.
There must have been.
You don't think Bais Sheni could have been the last Beit HaMikdash if they never sinned?
There's nothing in Torah about Mashiach. Really, there were no...
There's no explicit references to Mashiach. How could there be? They hadn't even gone to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, you think the ideal was that we were going to Israel and be exiled? That was the idea? God wanted us to be exiled? No, God wanted us to go into Eretz Yisrael and redeem the world.
Really?
Really?
That fast is one of the process of...
So Adam wasn't really supposed to eat the fruit?
No, he really was not supposed to eat the fruit. You really think he was supposed to eat the fruit?
So the Torah was created why? Before?
Yes.
Yeah.
Creation?
Of course.
Yeah,
why?
No.
Adam was supposed to get the
creation. I think we've been through this. Haven't we been through this? I believe that the Torah of God is independent of any specific acts in history. But the acts in history, the way they played out, therefore forced or allowed God to manifest the Torah through the events as they are described in the Torah. You understand what I'm saying? But had events been otherwise, maybe there would have been no need to write it down. Or had Moshe Rabbeinu stayed, there wouldn't have to be a Mashiach. What, you think the intention was for us to get kicked out and then we'll redeem the world finally in the end? God wanted us to suffer? After that? That's kind of
hard. How long do we have to wait? If we had the pain and suffering?
Why do you have to wait? Why don't you,
if we had the pain and suffering?
Why don't you get the whole world to redeem? To repent? All the Jews. You know, I take that back. You don't have to get all the entire world to repent. Just all the Jews. Could be done.
Do you have names of all of them?
Someone's going to, you mean you want a direct mailing list? Someone's going to do it. Why not you? Johnny Yuko. Wait, when were you born? What's your name?
Johnny's into marketing, not into sales.
What are you talking about?
It's all marketing.
It's all marketing. You have to sell anything.
No, Jonathan.
What?
Yeah, it's not much.
Oh. Okay.
I'm a good friend
there. Ayin Orachayim HaKadosh Bepasuk. Says Orachayim in the Pasuk. Batsar lecha, umitzaucha kol ha'dvarim ha'ele. Batsar, when it is painful to you, when you are in sorrow. This is the end of a part of Sefer Dvarim. Ba'acharit hayamim, and the end of days. Does that sound messianic? Hashavta el Hashem Elokecha, and you will return to the Lord your God. Veshamata bekolo ki aruchum Hashem Elokecha. You will listen to his heart, and his heart, because God, the Lord your God, is compassionate. Ba'katav ha'orachayim ha'kadosh. Rechaim says, "Shachatub mendaber b'haftachat ha'geula." Right? He says an explicit verse that's prophesizing on the redemption. Ki batzar la'am Yisrael, b'tzar la'am Yisrael shuzman hagalud. When the Jewish people are in pain, which is the time of the exile, v'hem chevlei Mashiach. These are the pangs of redemption. V'lo yelam kol atzarot elo achmit hayamin, and they can only have these pains in achmit, the end of days. I just want to point out these terms, the end of days. We just throw them around. You know what I'm saying? Messianism, end of days, eschatology. Okay, umavticham shi'orer Hashem. You mean you go back and you talk to your parents and how was your class? Oh no, they were just talking about the redemption, the end of days. No, it's good. Okay, umavticham shi'orer Hashem levavam az lashuv b'tshuvah. God, Moshe Rabbeinu promises that the God will awaken our hearts to return to repent. Who amron? It says v'shavta Hashem elokecha. You return to God. V'natan tam lahavtachazu. And the reason for this promise is ki el rachum Hashem Elokecha lo yarpecha, because God is a compassionate God. V'yichazek libecha lashuv, He will strengthen your heart to repent. V'ulai u'shezeu ta'anat Michael lifnei Hashem. This is the ta'ana before Michael, before God. Shevi b'zor ha'chadash es brach sharei bo achrit hayamim. Hey, the end of days have come. U'matzu otam kol advarim. This is a good question, right? You know, in his day, he was complaining. Lama lo yorer Hashem levavam lashuv. So why in the world hasn't God awakened our hearts to repent? I'm sorry. Upirashti mamar b'makom echel. Look it up somewhere else. I explained it there. Ve'einenu laHashem tzofot. Our eyes are turned to God. Liftoach otzar ruach tahara. To open his wellspring of the spirit of purity. Lifkoach einayim ivrot. To open up blinded eyes. Ulhatot levavot im Hashem, am Hashem, and to im the nation of God, not with God, and to turn the hearts towards God, lahakir ni'imot arivot yedidato, so that they will recognize the sweetness of the friendship of his friendshipness. Ad gan lashon hakodesh. Meaning, what does the Archaim say? And when did he say it? He said it in the 16th century in Italy. The time has come. We look to God. We've already suffered enough. It's about time for God to do that, to open the hearts of the people. Hare dihivticha Torah. Torah promises. Ta'achar she'avo al Yisrael kol atan ha-tzarot, ye'orer levavam lasot tshuva. After they have these tzarot, then God will awaken their hearts. Ve'achar kach tia gula. Vinir Aliyah, I think. De'ota hitovarut tia al yedei Eliyahu ha-navi. And who's going to be aware? Who's going to bring about this awakening? Elijah the prophet will come down off that mountain, awaken the people to mass repentance, bring them to God, return them to their true selves, and bring back the Messiah to Zion. I'm sorry. Kind of takes you away. Yes. You're looking at me funny.
We don't have to do anything.
What are you talking about?
It's all this talk about we have to do something, and we don't. It's all about when Hashem decides to send the army.
Yeah, we just have to listen.
Again, why 4,000 years?
We just have to listen.
Michael thought it was happening then.
Yeah, I knew. No, he didn't think it was happening then.
He was pleading with Hashem.
He was wondering why it wasn't happening then.
Right.
Yeah, I knew.
Okay, so when's it going to happen?
That's a really good question. You know who asked that question?
What's the point?
That's a really good question. You know who asked that question?
Who asked?
Prophet himself. Achadayin Lishol. Hey, what? We should ask. All the stuff that's promised or prophesied in the Chumash, all of these things, we should ask. Okay, why, meaning in a very extreme manner. Begam anu ba'achrit hayamim b'sof elaf hashishi. We know we are at the end.
Overabundant measure.
An overabundant manner, extreme manner. We know we're at the end of days. By the way, we do know that, right? So unlike the guy who calculated it exactly. So we don't know exactly when it's going to happen. But you're familiar with that.
What? At the end of the sixth.
Right, at the end of the sixth. We're towards the end of the sixth. So we're not that nuts. He's not that nuts. Where is the heavenly spirit of purity and holiness pouring down from the heavens? We have yet to see the coming of Elijah the prophet to awaken us to repentance. Even though we're ready for it, why are we ready for it? We're as ready as we're going to be. The Jews were as ready as they were going to be in 1943.
Why? Oh, there was so much pain they'd want
about. Whatever you say, if somebody had come to them and said, all you have to do is return to God, and I promise I will end the suffering.
Discreetable.
What? Okay. It's debatable, but at least it's more plausible than now.
Well, of course, turn more people away from Judaism than remotely thought they could bring them back. You're saying that during that time of anguish, if someone tried to be...
If someone had tried and could
really
convince them...
People,
not Makariv. Someone could show a sign that would indicate that if they would repent...
Why do you need signs and wonders?
Well, Moshe Rabbeinu needed them for the Jewish people the first time. Sounds sort of unreasonable?
Right.
Yeah. Why not? Isn't it... Like you said, if these people are all secularized, if they're all so entrenched in their own reality, you need something. It's not fair to expect this person to logically convince people, because you can't convince people logically. We live in a climate where logical argument doesn't work. And even if it were, somebody has an argument against
it. It's a climate where supernatural things are explained logically.
If you could really do a miracle, yeah.
For the whole world to see.
If you could do a miracle for the whole world to see, that would freak people out.
Well, I think it's a video trick.
What?
Yeah. I think it's a video trick.
Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. If you did it enough times?
It's got to be pretty impressive.
Yeah, probably.
It's not like a booming voice at Sinai. It's a couple of speakers these days.
What?
It's not a booming voice at Sinai. It's a couple of speakers these days. Lightning show? It's just a couple of lasers.
You know what happened in Mitzrayim?
What happened
in Mitzrayim? The first plague? What did the scientists of the day say?
No, you're right.
We could do it. Second plague? We could do it. fourth, fifth plague, they're like, can't do it anymore. So, was that so surprising?
Yeah.
How many likes do you think Eliyahu HaNavi will get on Facebook? You know? It's not so, the entire world, show this in the entire world, it's very easy.
How quickly would his Facebook page be turned down?
Because it's, right. Okay, you know.
Disliked by
gazillions of people. Av Hatirutzuz, he says, but I'll tell you the answer. Matzina b'torah takadoshim b'parashat Nitzavim. The answer is in Nitzavim. V'havyacha Hashem lakecha la'aretz asher yoshua v'techa v'yirishta. God will bring you back to the land which you, and you will inherit it. Umal Hashem lakechat levavcha v'levav hazarecha le'avad Hashem lakecha. And then God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, for your life's sake. Ayin Rechaim Shekata, the Rechaim says, Ki achar shemal libo la'avat Hashem b'chol libo l'chol nafsho. After God has circumcised your heart to love Him, Ein lecha tshuva gedola mezo. There is no greater repentance than this. Hooray! This is what he says. Behold, Shetala hakatub bi'atenu le'eretz tchila. First, in the Pasuk, if you look at the chronology in the Pasuk, first we will return to the land. We will hold on, grab on to the inheritance of our forefathers. And then God will circumcise our heart. And He will pour down, right, this purifying elixir upon us. If so, as long as we are in this foreign land, this purifying spirit is held back from us. Okay, therefore, Nachon v'chov kadosh l'kunanu l'itametz levo l'artzenu hakadosha. We have to go to the land of Israel. Meaning, remember the process. We have pain, Eliyahu, repentance, Mashiach. No, not that. Before you can have, I don't know where the pain comes in. Probably somewhere.
But we would
now, before you can have Eliyahu come and circumcise our hearts, what do you have to have?
Take possession of the land.
You must have.
We were already put in the land.
Return.
So we didn't fulfill our take possession properly when we first arrived.
To the land. It's hard to say that. First, you return to the land, and then God can circumcise us. What do you mean we're already put in the land? Is it done? The process is done? How long is the process?
It was when Moshe Rabbeinu died on Har, whatever.
Yeah.
Over the Arden,
right.
Possession of the land.
Correct.
So where poof?
Well, there was going to be an exile. Apparently, you're right. God says you will be kicked out, and then you'll repent, and then you'll come back. I think one time, two times. It's kind of depressing. The end of the Torah always depresses me. It is. Isn't it depressing? What's Hazinu? Listen to this song. This is the song. What?
I don't want
to
say that.
What's the song? What's the song? The end of the song. Like, much of this is the truth. Just sing the song. What's the song? You're gonna mess up. It's gonna be bad. There's nothing you can do about it. This is the truth. Right? That's the song, isn't it? Shamanta Vita Kasita. You got fat, you got lazy, and you're stupid, and kick God. I mean, like, such a depressing song. Okay, but nonetheless, he says, the process demands, in order for repentance to happen, in order for redemption to happen, return to the land. So meaning, but he says, fascinating, wait a second, through the forces that cause us, the force that's forcing us, the cause of causes, i.e. God, i.e. shluchav, through his messengers, we are being pushed back, right? That yearning, remember we said, like I started by saying, Netanyahu said we had this 4,000 years of yearning to return to the land. No, we had this, yes, 4,000 years of yearning, but these 4,000 years is through this supernatural process through which God, through His messengers, through His subsidiaries, through His wholly owned corporation, has been using His messengers, His emissaries, to slowly but surely force us back to the land of Israel. V'zeh she'amar v'ha'aviyacha, I will bring you, says God, haynu al yedei shluchav, that is through His messengers, V'sibochi seiviv lan, the second line, right? And the forces that are causing us. V'az yikayem HaKadosh Baruch Hu achav tachato. And then he fulfills his promise, lishloach alinu mimarom ruach tahara, to send from above this spirit of purity, okay? V'lamol levavenu, circumcise our heart, v'lashuv v'la b'chol levavenu chol nashinu, to do return. Ava, yet, kol zman she'anu ba'avir aretz ha'amim, as long as we are in the air of the foreign lands, ein mavol levoli de'ev tachazir, there's no way we're going to have this promise. Ki tumat aretz ha'amim misochechet alinu. The impurity of the foreign lands surrounds us. It envelops us. There is no Shechinah in Chutz Laaretz. You cannot have the divine spirit come upon us when we're in Chutz Laaretz. Meaning you thought, remember what you thought, what was your vision of Mashiach? God's going to come, blow the shofar, we're all going to see the light, oh, it's amazing. We're going to return to the land of Israel. Impossible! Why? Because the God's Spirit can come upon us in Chutz Laaretz, because it's pure, it's impure, it stinks purely from a spiritual point of view. Okay? V'nira li, I mean, I want to finish this paragraph. D'zeh nami kavanat haram b'chot tshuva. This is what the Rambam said when he said, Ein yisrael nigalim b'lo tshuva. The Jewish people will not be redeemed without tshuva. Uchvar v'ticha Torah, the Torah promises, Shasofam l'Yisrael asot tshuva b'sof galutam. The end of the Jewish people is to repent at the end of the galut. Umiyare nigalim. The Rambam, the Shitato, Perakam, the Sanhedrin. The Rambam is, according to his own opinion, Kodem biyata Mashiach yichavein Hashem at libo Yisrael. Before Mashiach, God will direct the hearts of the Jewish people. V'yere ruach Torah, v'yismuchu zakenim ayin sham. V'zeh b'chinat milat halev. I must say, doesn't sound like what the Rambam says. He's forcing his perspective into the Rambam. But he's trying to make it work. She'en lecha tshuva gdola mizu, there's no greater tshuva. V'zeh yihyeh, this can only be be'eretz Yisrael. U'gviyah v'Rambam Sanhedrin, Shmo katav v'chassam sofer b'droshatav, we're going to see that Chassam Sofer writes in his drashot, de'mashma v'dibi ha'Rambam ha'elu, the Rambam says, te'af kodem Mashiach biyat ha'mashiach, yitkabsu Yisrael be'eretz Yisrael, b'libe et ha'midash. I have to repeat that. Even without, before Mashiach comes, the Jewish people will gather in the land of Israel without the Beit HaMikdash.
Remember. That's what he says.
What?
It's not what the Rambam says. It's what he says.
That's what he says. Umameli yavo achakach Mashiach. Kevin in the Kvar Asir Tshuva. By the way, you know, what's the most amazing about what he's saying? Really, what's the most amazing what Rav Teitel says?
Something.
Yeah. He said it before it happened. He said it before it was even imaginable. He says, I'm telling you, I know what's going to happen. You think Mashiach has to come in order to bring the Jewish people back. You got it all wrong. The Jewish people have to come back in order for Mashiach to come. You misunderstood. You thought the process was the other way around. That's why the Jews have been yearning for Biyat HaMashiach the whole time. No, they got it wrong. They were waiting for God to do it, and He was waiting for them to do it. Because when the Jewish people return to the land of Israel, then only then can the repentance process happen. But it can only happen when the Jewish people return and gather in Israel. That's what I think the Rambam is saying, he says. Al kopanim, nonetheless, mashma midivrei kulam, according to everybody, chov kadosh lekulam lashuv la'arteinu, it is an obligation, and a holy obligation upon all of us, to return to our land. Va'az nasig be'ezer Hashem kol avtachot hagdalot, and then we'll get all the prophecies. He says, why hasn't it happened? He says, you know why it hasn't happened all these years? It couldn't happen. You know why it couldn't happen? We weren't in the right place for it to happen. We were just we were not in position. You cannot play the game unless you're on the field. We were out of bounds. Only when we get back on the field to play. What? Who? He wanted to. He was in the middle of Holocaust. He died before he got here. But that's exactly his point. He says, you got it all wrong. In order for Mashiach to come, you've got to be there first. But it's like, it's a total upheaval of what we thought Mashiach was. We thought Mashiach was, he's going to come and bring everybody back. He says, you got it all wrong. Totally opposite. You got to come back. And then Mashiach can come. And the crazy thing is, he got this part right. He says, it's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
The land is missing the majority of these discussions
that
we've had.
What?
All these discussions of the land have been overlaid the three fundamentals. they don't discuss the land, all these conversations, until you get into the passages from the Torah.
Yeah.
And then they're laying it on top of the previous discussion, whereas the Torah comes first, presumably.
Yeah.
Then the Rambam...
Oh, I understand what you're saying. But he would agree, he would agree.
And the Gemara is out of context.
Correct. So he's saying, if you look at the Psukim, it makes a lot of sense. He says, if you read the Psukim, this is not what he's saying. If you read the Psukim first, you say, 1 second. You've got to come back, and then God will return to you. Okay, now I look at the Rambam in light of that, and I look at the events in light of that, then I realize that all this vision that I had makes no sense unless I understand that first I have to go back to Eretz Yisrael. B'shavtad Hashem Elokecha. You return to the land, and then you return to God. And by the way, it's not so crazy, not so far-fetched to see it happen. Right, Rav Kook says it's all the process of redemption. First, it has to be a physical process, and then once the physical process, I wouldn't say fizzles out, but spends itself out, and people begin to wonder, and then the spiritual reawakening happens. And we see ourselves; it's not so far-fetched to see a spiritual reawakening happening as we're seeing it. You know, the nation itself. Today they couch it. I listen to a lot of American news. They couch it in terms of a right-wing religious fanaticism. But meaning, and they say that the whole left-wing, classic left-wing Israeli center is kind of losing its status. And so you could see that and say, oh, it's the political swings. You could lose it and say, the Israeli people are saying to themselves, what's going on? Why are we doing this? What's happening? And they're either looking at it from a very right-wing perspective politically, or they're saying, there has to be more meaning to this. There has to be something deeper.
But it doesn't mean it's making it on political
space. No, but it could be in a metaphysical, a spiritual...
I mean, a lot of really... spiritual people that have no right or left-wing leanings to political ones.
No, that's true, but Israel is definitely moving rightward, without a doubt. Even secular Israelis, you say it might be the Russians, but secular Israelis are moving rightward. There is no longer, Israel used to be mainstream Israel, was...
seriously communist and socialist.
Exactly, totally left. And what happened? That kind of fizzled out. As socialism, communism, but also the mainstream, you know, your classic Haaretz Judaism.
But then you're saying it's got nothing to do with religiosity. It could be dealing with the financial situation. The economy sorted itself out, so people weren't...
Look, I think you
could be all people.
God, Mashiach will come very soon, and we'll look back and go, you see, it makes sense.
Right.
This happened, and this happened, and this happened, this happened. We told you it was coming, and now look at that. I mean, it's just obvious. But if it doesn't...
What do you mean, if it doesn't?
Well, if it doesn't happen.
And what?
And like Michael, we were wrong.
I must say. Well, you've made a pretty big bet here, I must say, Johnny.
No, I'm not saying that. I don't agree. Okay. I'm here, aren't I?
Exactly. I must say.
I made a big bet with Shabbos and Kasher. And
I feel like you just have this feeling, and I don't know when. Who knows? Maybe just when. You feel like, I feel very on edge now. I don't know if you feel that way also. Just like the world in general is moving, and it's moving. Something's happening. Like, you know, you feel America kind of declining, you feel the Arab world kind of rising in a very powerful way, in a frightening way. You know what I'm saying? You see things changing, you don't know where they're going. And in times of instability, whether they're personal, whether they're communal, whether they're geopolitical.
You would have thought that in 47, 48, in 56, in 67, 73. All these times. I mean, crazy, crazy times.
You're talking about times.
Completely surrounded.
Would you say the world was an unstable place in 67? The world or just Israel?
Some areas of the world.
I don't know. All right, enjoy your game. We'll stop here. Yeah. 67? That was 62.
What? Yeah.
What?
Yeah, can we get off? All right.